rooftop. I'll have food sent up to your room, but other than that, I'll make sure you're not disturbed.
Where's Adam? Is he safe? Is he healthy? Are you going to hurt him?
Warner flinches before finding his composure.
Why do you care?
I've cared about Adam Kent since I was in third grade.
Isn't he supposed to be watching me? Because he's not here. Does that mean you're going to kill him too?
I'm feeling stupid. I'm feeling brave because I'm feeling stupid. My words wear no parachutes as they fall out of my mouth.
I only kill people if I need to.
Generous.
More than most.
I laugh a sad laugh, sharing it with only myself.
You can have the rest of the day to yourself. Our real work will begin tomorrow. Adam will bring you to me.
He holds my eyes, suppresses a smile.
In the meantime, try not to kill anyone.
You and I tell him, anger coursing through my veins. You and I are not the same.
You don't really believe that.
You think you can compare my disease with your insanity?
Disease.
He rushes forward, abruptly impassioned, and I struggle to hold my ground.
You think you have a disease?
He shouts.
You have a gift. You have an extraordinary ability that you don't care to understand. Your potential.
I have no potential.
You're wrong.
He's glaring at me. There's no other way to describe it. I could almost say he hates me in this moment. Hates me for hating myself.
Well, you're the murderer, I tell him. So you must be right.
His smile is laced with dynamite.
Go to sleep.
Go to hell.
He works his jaw, walks to the door.
I'm working on it.
Chapter 19. The darkness is choking me. My dreams are bloody and bleeding, and blood is bleeding all over my mind, and I can't sleep anymore. The only dreams that ever used to give me peace are gone, and I don't know how to get them back. I don't know how to find the white bird. I don't know if it will ever fly by. All I know is that now, when I close my eyes, I see nothing but devastation. Fletcher is being shot over and over and over again, and Jenkins is dying in my arms, and Warner is shooting Adam in the head, and the wind is singing outside my window, but it's high-pitched and off-key, and I don't have the heart to tell it to stop. I'm freezing through my clothes. The bed under my back is filled with broken clouds and freshly fallen snow. It's too soft, too comfortable. It reminds me too much of sleeping in Warner's room, and I can't stand it. I'm afraid to slip under these covers. I can't help but wonder if Adam is okay, if he'll ever come back, if Warner is going to keep hurting him whenever I disobey. I really shouldn't care so much. Adam's message in my notebook might just be a part of Warner's plan to drive me insane. I crawl onto the hard floor and check my fist for the crumpled piece of paper I've been clutching for 2 days. It's the only hope I have left, and I don't even know if it's real. I'm running out of options.
What are you doing here?
I bite down on a scream and stumble up, over, and sideways, nearly slamming into Adam where he's lying on the floor next to me. I didn't even see him.
Juliet.
He doesn't move an inch. His gaze is fixed on me. Calm, unflappable, 2 buckets of river water at midnight. I'd like to cry into his eyes. I don't know why I tell him the truth. I couldn't sleep up there. He doesn't ask me why. He pulls himself up and coughs back a grunt, and I remember how he's been hurt. I wonder what kind of pain he's in. I don't ask questions as he grabs a pillow and the blanket off my bed. He puts the pillow on the floor.
Lie down,
is all he says to me, Quietly, is how he says it to me. All day, every day, forever is when I want him to say it to me. They're just two words, and I don't know why I'm blushing. I lie down despite the siren spinning in my blood and rest my head on the pillow. He drapes the blanket over my body. I let him do it. I watch as his arms curve and flex in the shadow of night, the glint of the moon peeking in through the window, illuminating his figure in its glow. He lies down on the floor, leaving only a few feet of space between us. He requires no blanket. He uses no pillow. He still sleeps without a shirt on, and I've discovered I don't know how to breathe. I've realized I'll probably never exhale in his presence.
You don't need to scream anymore,
he whispers. Every breath in my body escapes me. I curl my fingers around the possibility of Adam in my hand and sleep more soundly than I have in my life. My eyes are two windows cracked open by the chaos in this world. A cool breeze startles my skin and I sit up, rub the sleep from my eyes, and realize Adam is no longer beside me. I blink and crawl back up to the bed, where I replace the pillow and the blanket. I glance at the door and wonder what's waiting for me on the other side. I glance at the window and wonder if I'll ever see a bird fly by. I glance at the clock on the wall and wonder what it means to be living according to numbers again. I wonder what 6:30 in the morning means in this building. I decide to wash my face. The idea exhilarates me, and I'm a little ashamed. I open the bathroom door and catch Adam's reflection in the mirror. His fast hands pull his shirt down before I have a chance to latch on to details, but I saw enough to see what I couldn't see in the darkness. He's covered in bruises. My legs feel broken. I don't know how to help him. I wish I could help him.
I'm sorry,
he says quickly.
I didn't know you were awake.
He tugs on the bottom of his shirt like it's not long enough to pretend I'm blind. I nod at nothing at all. I look at the tile under my feet. I don't know what to say.
Juliet.
His voice hugs the letters in my name so softly I die 5 times in that second. His face is a forest of emotion. He shakes his head.
I'm sorry,
he says, so quietly I'm certain I imagined it.
It's not.
He clenches his jaw and runs a nervous hand through his hair.
All of this, it's not.
I open my palm to him. The paper is a crumpled wad of possibility. I know. Relief washes over every feature on his face, and suddenly his eyes are the only reassurance I'll ever need. Adam did not betray me. I don't know why or how or what or anything at all, except that he is still my friend. He is still standing right in front of me, and he doesn't want me to die. I step forward and close the door. I open my mouth to speak.
No.
My jaw falls off.
Wait,
he says with one hand. His lips move but make no sound. I realize in the absence of cameras there might still be microphones in the bathroom. Adam looks around and back and forth and everywhere. He stops looking. The shower is 4 walls of marbled glass, and he's sliding the glass open before I have any idea what's happening. He flips the spray on at full power, and the sound of water is rushing through, rumbling through the room, muffling everything as it thunders into the emptiness around us. The mirror is already fogging up on account of the steam, and just as I think I'm beginning to understand his plan, he pulls me into his arms and lifts me into the shower. My screams are vapor, wisps of gasps I can't grasp. Hot water is puddling in my clothes. It's pelting my hair and pouring down my neck, but all I feel are his hands around my waist. I want to cry out for all the wrong reasons. His eyes pin me in place.
His urgency ignites my bones. Rivulets of water snake their way down the polished planes of his face, and his fingers press me up against the wall. His lips, his lips, his lips, his lips, his lips. My eyes are fighting not to flutter. My legs have won the right to tremble. My skin is scorched everywhere he's not touching me. His lips are so close to my ear, I'm water and nothing and everything, and melting into a wanting so desperate it burns as I swallow it down. "I can touch you," he says, and I wonder why there are hummingbirds in my heart. "I didn't understand until the other night," he murmurs, and I'm too drunk to digest the weight of anything but his body hovering so close to mine. "Juliet." His body presses closer, and I realize I'm paying attention to nothing but the dandelions blowing wishes in my lungs. My eyes snap open, and he licks his bottom lip for the smallest second, and something in my brain bursts to life. I gasp, I gasp, I gasp. "What are you doing?"
"Juliet, please."
His voice is anxious, and he glances behind him like he's not sure we're alone.
"The other night."
He presses his lips together. He closes his eyes for half of a second, and I marvel at the drop, drop, drops of hot water caught in his eyelashes, like pearls forged from pain. His fingers inch up the sides of my body like he's struggling to keep them in one place, like he's struggling not to touch me everywhere, 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 and his eyes are drinking in the 63 inches of my frame, and I'm so caught.
"I finally get it now," he says into my ear. I know why Warner wants you."
His fingertips are 10 points of electricity, killing me with something I've never known before. Something I've always wanted to feel. "Then why are you here?" I whisper, broken, dying in his arms. "Why?" 1, 2 attempts at inhalation. "Why are you touching me?"
"Because I can."
He almost cracks a smile. And I almost sprout a pair of wings.
"I already have."
"What?" I blink, suddenly sobered. "What do you mean?"
"That first night in the cell."
He sighs. He looks down.
"You were screaming in your sleep."
I wait. I wait. I wait forever.
"I touched your face."
He speaks into the shape of my ear.
"Your hand. I brushed the length of your arm."
He pulls back, and his eyes rest at my shoulder, trail down to my elbow, land on my wrist. I'm suspended in disbelief.
"I didn't know how to wake you up. You wouldn't wake up, so I sat back and watched you. I waited for you to stop screaming."
"That's not possible." 3 words are all I can manage. But his hands become arms around my waist. His lips become a cheek pressed against my cheek. And his body is flesh against mine. His skin touching me, touching me, touching me. And he's not screaming. He's not dying. He's not running away from me. And I'm crying. I'm choking. I'm shaking, shuddering, splintering into teardrops, and he's holding me the way no one has ever held me before. Like he wants me.
"I'm going to get you out of here,"
he says, and his mouth is moving against my hair, and his hands are traveling to my arms, and I'm leaning back, and he's looking into my eyes, and I must be dreaming. I'm shaking my head and shaking because this can't be happening, and shaking off the tears glued to my face. This can't be real. His eyes gentle. His smile unhinges my joints, and I wish I knew the taste of his lips. I wish I had the courage to touch him.
"I have to go,"
he says.
You have to be dressed and downstairs by 8 o'clock.
I'm drowning in his eyes, and I don't know what to say. He peels off his shirt, and I don't know where to look. I catch myself on the glass panel and press my eyes shut and blink when something flutters too close. His fingers are a moment from my face, and I'm dripping, burning, melting in anticipation.
You don't have to look away, he says.
He says it with a small smile, the size of Jupiter. I peek up at his features, at the crooked grin I want to savor, at the color in his eyes I'd use to paint a million pictures. I follow the line of his jaw down his neck to the peak of his collarbone. I memorize the sculpted hills and valleys of his arms, the perfection of his torso, the bird on his chest. The bird on his chest. A tattoo. A white bird with streaks of gold like a crown atop its head. It's flying. Adam, I try to tell him. Adam, I try to choke out. Adam, I try to say so many times and fail. I try to find his eyes only to realize he's been watching me study him. The pieces of his face are pressed into lines of emotion so deep, I wonder what I must look like to him. He touches two fingers to my chin, tilts my face up just enough, and I'm a live wire in water.
I'll find a way to talk to you, he says,
and his hands are reeling me in, and my face is pressed against his chest, and the world is suddenly brighter, bigger, beautiful. The world suddenly means something to me. The possibility of humanity means something to me. The entire universe stops in place and spins in the other direction, and I'm the bird. I'm the bird, and I'm flying away. Chapter 20. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm wearing a dress the color of dead forests and old tin cans. The fit is tighter than anything I've worn in my life. The cut modern and angular, almost haphazard. The material is stiff and thick, but somehow breathable. I stare at my legs and wonder that I own a pair. I feel more exposed than I ever have in my life. For 17 years, I've trained myself to cover every inch of exposed skin, and Warner is forcing me to peel the layers away. I can only assume he's doing it on purpose. My body is a carnivorous flower, a poisonous houseplant, a loaded gun with a million triggers, and he's more than ready to fire. Touch me and suffer the consequences. There have never been exceptions to this rule. Never, but Adam. He left me standing sopping wet in the shower, soaking up a torrential downpour of hot tears. I watched through the blurred glass as he dried himself off and slipped into his standard uniform. I watched as he slipped away, wondering every moment, why can he touch me? Why would he help me? Does he remember me? My skin is still steaming. My bones are bandaged in the tight folds of this strange dress, the zipper the only thing holding me together. That and the prospect of something I've always, never dared to dream of. My lips will stay stitched shut with the secrets of this morning forever, but my heart is so full of confidence and wonder and peace and possibility that it's about to burst, and I wonder if it will rip the dress. Hope is hugging me, holding me in its arms, wiping away my tears and telling me that today and tomorrow and 2 days from now, I will be just fine, and I'm so delirious I actually dare to believe it. I am sitting in a blue room. The walls are wallpapered in cloth the color of a perfect summer sky, the floor tucked into a carpet 2 inches thick, the entire room empty but for two velvet chairs punched out of a constellation. Every varying hue is like a bruise, like a beautiful mistake, like a reminder of what they did to Adam because of me. I am sitting all alone in a velvet chair in a blue room, wearing a dress made of olives. The weight of the notebook in my pocket feels like I'm balancing a bowling ball on my knee.
You look lovely.
Warner whisks into the room like he treads air for a living. He's accompanied by no one. My eyes involuntarily peek down at my tennis shoes, and I wonder if I've broken any rules by avoiding the stilts in my closet I'm sure are not for feet. I look up, and he's standing right in front of me.
Green is a great color on you,
he says with a stupid smile.
It really brings out the color of your eyes.
What color are my eyes? I ask the wall. He laughs.
You're not serious.
How old are you? He stops laughing.
You care to know?
I'm curious. He takes the seat beside me.
I won't answer your questions if you won't look at me when I speak to you.
You want me to torture people against my will. You want me to be a weapon in your war. You want me to become a monster for you. I pause. Looking at you makes me sick.
You are far more stubborn than I thought you'd be.
I'm wearing your dress. I ate your food. I'm here. I lift my eyes to look at him, and he's already staring straight at me. I'm momentarily caught off guard by the power in his gaze.
You did none of that for me, he says quietly.
I nearly laugh out loud. Why would I? His eyes are fighting his lips for the right to speak. I look away. What are we doing in this room?
Ah.
He takes a deep breath.
Breakfast. Then I give you your schedule.
He presses a button on the arm of his chair, and almost instantly, carts and trays are wheeled into the room by men and women who are clearly not soldiers. Their faces are hard and cracked and too thin to be healthy. It breaks my heart right in half.
I usually eat alone, Warner continues,
his voice like an icicle piercing the flesh of my memories.
But I figured you and I should be more thoroughly acquainted. Especially since we'll be spending so much time together.
The servants, maids, people who are not soldiers, leave, and Warner offers me something on a dish. I'm not hungry.
This is not an option.
I look up and realize he's very, very serious.
You are not allowed to starve yourself to death. You don't eat enough, and I need you to be healthy. You are not allowed to commit suicide. You are not allowed to harm yourself. You are too valuable to me.
I am not your toy, I nearly spit. He drops his plate onto the rolling cart, and I'm surprised it doesn't shatter into pieces. He clears his throat, and I might actually be scared.
This process would be so much easier if you would just cooperate,
he says, enunciating every word. 5555555 heartbeats.
The world is disgusted by you,
he says, his lips twitching with humor.
Everyone you've ever known has hated you, run from you, abandoned you. Your own parents gave up on you and volunteered your existence to be given up to the authorities. They were so desperate to get rid of you, to make you someone else's problem, to convince themselves the abomination they raised was not, in fact, their child.
My face has been slapped by 100 hands.
And yet, he laughs openly now, you insist on making me the bad guy.
He meets my eyes.
I am trying to help you. I'm giving you an opportunity no one would ever offer you. I'm willing to treat you as an equal. I'm willing to give you
everything you could ever want, and above all else, I can put power in your hands. I can make them suffer for what they did to you.
He leans in just enough.
I can change your world.
He's wrong. He's so wrong. He's more wrong than an upside-down rainbow. But everything he said is right.
Don't dare to hate me so quickly,
he continues.
You might find yourself enjoying this situation a lot more than you anticipated. Lucky for you, I'm willing to be patient.
He grins, leans back.
Though it certainly doesn't hurt that you're so alarmingly beautiful.
I'm dripping red paint on the carpet.
He's a liar and a horrible, horrible, horrible human being, and I don't know if I care because he's right, or because it's so wrong, or because I'm so desperate for some semblance of recognition in this world. No one has ever said anything like that to me before.
It makes me want to look in the mirror.
You and I are not as different as you might hope.
His grin is so cocky, I want to twist it with my fist. You and I are not as similar as you might hope. He smiles so wide, I'm not sure how to react.
I'm 19, by the way.
Excuse me?
I'm 19 years old,
he clarifies.
I'm a fairly impressive specimen for my age, I know.
I pick up my spoon and poke at the edible matter on my plate. I don't know what food really is anymore. I have no respect for you.
You will change your mind,
he says easily.
Now hurry up and eat. We have a lot of work to do.
Chapter 21. Killing time isn't as difficult as it sounds. I can shoot 100 numbers through the chest and watch them bleed decimal points in the palm of my hand. I can rip the numbers off a clock and watch the hour hand tick, tick, tick its final tock just before I fall asleep. I can suffocate seconds just by holding my breath. I've been murdering minutes for hours and no one seems to mind. It's been 1 week since I've spoken a word to Adam. I turned to him once, opened my mouth just once, but never had a chance to say anything before Warner intercepted me.
You are not allowed to speak to the soldiers,
he said.
If you have questions, you can find me. I am the only person you need to concern yourself with while you're here.
Possessive is not a strong enough word for Warner. He escorts me everywhere. Talks to me too much. My schedule consists of meetings with Warner and eating with Warner and listening to Warner. If he is busy, I am sent to my room. If he is free, he finds me. He tells me about the books they've destroyed, the artifacts they're preparing to burn, the ideas he has for a new world, and how I'll be a great help to him just as soon as I'm ready. Just as soon as I realize how much I want this, how much I want him, how much I want this new, glorious, powerful life. He is waiting for me to harness my potential. He tells me how grateful I should be for his patience, his kindness, his willingness to understand that this transition must be difficult. I cannot look at Adam. I cannot speak to him. He sleeps in my room, but I never see him. He breathes so close to my body but does not part his lips in my direction. He does not follow me into the bathroom. He does not leave secret messages in my notebook. I'm beginning to wonder if I imagined everything he said to me. I need to know if something has changed. I need to know if I'm crazy for holding on to this hope blossoming in my heart. And I need to know what Adam's message meant. But every day that he treats me like a stranger is another day I begin to doubt myself. I need to talk to him, but I can't. Because now Warner is watching me. The cameras are watching everything. I want you to take the cameras out of my room. Warner stops chewing the food, garbage, breakfast nonsense in his mouth. He swallows carefully before leaning back and looking me in the eye.
Absolutely not.
If you treat me like a prisoner, I tell him, I'm going to act like one. I don't like to be watched.
You can't be trusted on your own.
He picks up his spoon again. Every breath I take is monitored. There are guards stationed in 5-foot intervals in all the hallways. I don't even have access to my own room, I protest. Cameras aren't going to make a difference. A strange kind of amusement dances on his lips.
You're not exactly stable, you know. You're liable to kill someone.
No! I grip my fingers. No, I wouldn't. I didn't kill Jenkins.
I'm not talking about Jenkins.
His smile is a vat of acid seeping into my skin. He won't stop looking at me, smiling at me, torturing me with his eyes. This is me, screaming silently into my fist. That was an accident. The words tumble out of my mouth so quietly, so quickly, I don't even know if I've actually spoken, or if I'm actually still sitting here, or if I'm actually 14 years old all over again, all over again, all over again, and I'm screaming and dying and diving into a pool of memories I never, ever, 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 I can't seem to forget. I saw her at the grocery store. Her legs were standing crossed at the ankles. Her child was on a leash she thought he thought was a backpack. She thought he was too dumb, too young, too immature to understand that the rope tying him to her wrist was a device designed to trap him in her uninterested circle of self-sympathy. She's too young to have a kid, to have these responsibilities, to be buried by a child who has needs that don't accommodate her own. Her life is so incredibly unbearable, so immensely multifaceted, too glamorous for the leashed legacy of her loins to understand. Children are not stupid, was what I wanted to tell her. I wanted to tell her that his 7th scream didn't mean he was trying to be obnoxious, that her 14th admonishment in the form of, brat, you're such a brat, you're embarrassing me, you little brat, don't make me tell Daddy you were being a brat, was uncalled for. I didn't mean to watch, but I couldn't help myself. His 3-year-old face puckered in pain. His little hands tried to undo the chain she'd strapped across his chest, and she tugged so hard he fell down and cried, and she told him he deserved it. I wanted to ask her why she would do that. I wanted to ask her so many questions, but I didn't, because we don't talk to people anymore. Because saying something would be stranger than saying nothing to a stranger. He fell to the floor and writhed around until I dropped everything in my hands and every feature on my face. I'm so sorry is what I never said to her son. I thought my hands were helping. I thought my heart was helping. I thought so many things I never, 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 never thought.
You killed a little boy.
I'm nailed into my velvet chair by a million memories, and I'm haunted by a horror my bare hands created, and I'm reminded in every moment that I am unwanted for good reason. My hands can kill people. My hands can destroy everything. I should not be allowed to live. I gasp, struggling to swallow the fist lodged in my throat. I want you to get rid of the cameras. Get rid of them, or I will die fighting you for the right.
Finally!
Warner stands up and clasps his hands together as if to congratulate himself.
I was wondering when you'd wake up. I've been waiting for the fire I know must be eating away at you every single day. You're buried in hatred, aren't you? Anger? Frustration? Itching to do something? To be someone?
No.
Of course you are. You're just like me.
I hate you more than you will ever understand. We're going to make an excellent team. We are nothing. You are nothing to me.
I know what you want.
He leans in, drops his voice.
I know what your little heart has always longed for. I can give you the acceptance you seek. I can be your friend.
I freeze, falter, fail to speak.
I know everything about you, love.
He grins.
I've wanted you for a very long time. I've waited forever for you to be ready. I'm not going to let you go so easily.
I don't want to be a monster, I say, perhaps more for my sake than his.
Don't fight what you're born to be.
He grasps my shoulders.
Stop letting everyone else tell you what's wrong and right. Stake a claim. You cower when you could conquer. You have so much more power than you're aware of. And quite frankly,
he shakes his head.
Fascinated.
I am not your freak, I snap. I will not perform for you. He tightens his hold around my arms, and I can't squirm away from him. He leans in dangerously close to my face, and I don't know why, but I can't breathe.
I'm not afraid of you, my dear,
he says softly.
I'm absolutely enchanted.
Either you get rid of the cameras or I will find and break every single one of them. I'm a liar. I'm lying through my teeth, but I'm angry and desperate and horrified. Warner wants to morph me into an animal who preys on the weak, on the innocent. If he wants me to fight for him, he's going to have to fight me first. A slow smile spreads across his face. He touches gloved fingers to my cheek and tilts my head up, catching my chin in his grip when I flinch away.
You are absolutely delicious when you're angry.
Too bad my taste is poisonous for your palate. I'm vibrating in disgust from head to toe.
That detail makes this game so much more appealing.
You're sick. You're so sick. He laughs and releases my chin only to take inventory of my body parts. His eyes draw a lazy trail down the length of my frame, and I feel the sudden urge to rupture his spleen.
If I get rid of your cameras, what will you do for me?
His eyes are wicked. Nothing. He shakes his head.
That won't do. I might agree to your proposition if you agree to a condition.
I clench my jaw. What do you want? The smile is bigger than before.
That is a dangerous question.
What is your condition? I clarify, impatient.
Touch me.
What? My gasp is so loud it catches in my throat, only to race around the room.
I want to know exactly what you're capable of.
His voice is steady, his eyebrows taut, tense. I won't do it again, I explode. You saw what you made me do to Jenkins.
Screw Jenkins, he spits. I want you to touch me. I want to feel it myself.
No, I'm shaking my head so hard it makes me dizzy. No, never. You're crazy. I won't.
You will, actually.
I will not.
You will have to work. At one point or another, he says, making an effort to moderate his voice. Even if you were to forego my condition, you are here for a reason, Juliet. I convinced my father that you would be an asset to the reestablishment, that you'd be able to restrain any rebels we...
You mean torture?
Yes.
He smiles.
Forgive me. I mean torture. You will be able to help us torture anyone we capture.
A pause.
Inflicting pain, you see, is an incredibly efficient method of getting information out of anyone. And with you?
He glances at my hands.
Well, it's cheap, fast, effective.
He smiles wider.
And as long as we keep you alive, you'll be good for at least a few decades. It's very fortunate that you're not battery operated.
You, I sputter.
You should be thanking me. I saved you from that sick hole of an asylum. I brought you into a position of power. I've given you everything you could possibly need to be comfortable.
He levels his gaze at me.
Now I need you to focus. I need you to relinquish your hopes of living like everyone else. You are not normal. You never have been, and you never will be. Embrace who you are.
I swallow. I'm
a murderer?
No!
An instrument of torture?
Stop!
You're lying to yourself.
I'm ready to destroy him. He cocks his head and presses back a smile.
You've been on the edge of insanity your entire life, haven't you? So many people called you crazy, you actually started to believe it. You wondered if they were right. You wondered if you could fix it. You thought if you could just try a little harder, be a little better, smarter, nicer, you thought the world would change its mind about you. You blamed yourself for everything.
I gasp. My bottom lip trembles without my permission. I can hardly control the tension in my jaw. I don't want to tell him he's right.
You've suppressed all your rage and resentment because you wanted to be loved,
he says, no longer smiling.
Maybe I understand you, Juliet. Maybe you should trust me. Maybe you should accept the fact that you've tried to be someone you're not for so long, and that no matter what you did, those bastards were never happy. They were never satisfied. They never gave a damn, did they?
He looks at me, and for a moment, he seems almost human. For a moment, I want to believe him. For a moment, I want to sit on the floor and cry out the ocean lodged in my throat.
It's time you stopped pretending,
he says, so softly.
Juliet.
He takes my face in his gloved hands, so unexpectedly gentle.
You don't have to be nice anymore. You can destroy all of them. You can take them down and own this whole world and...
A steam engine hits me in the face. I don't want to destroy anyone, I tell him. I don't want to hurt people.
But they deserve it.
He pushes away from me, frustrated.
How could you not want to retaliate? How could you not want to fight back?
I stand up slowly, shaking with anger, hoping my legs won't collapse beneath me. You think that because I am unwanted, because I am neglected and discarded, my voice inches higher with every word, the unrestrained emotion suddenly screaming through my lungs. You think I don't have a heart? You think I don't feel? You think that because I can inflict pain that I should? You're just like everyone else. You think I'm a monster just like everyone else. You don't understand me at all.
Juliet.
No. I don't want this. I don't want his life. I don't want to be anything for anyone but myself. I want to make my own choices, and I've never wanted to be a monster. My words are slow and steady when I speak. I value human life a lot more than you do, Warner. He opens his mouth to speak before he stops, laughs out loud and shakes his head, smiles at me. What? I ask before I can stop myself.
You just said my name.
He grins even wider.
You've never addressed me directly before. That must mean I'm making progress with you.
I just told you, I don't... He cuts me off.
I'm not worried about your moral dilemmas. You're just stalling for time because you're in denial. Don't worry, he says. You'll get over it. I can wait a little longer.
I'm not in denial.
Of course you are. You don't know it yet, Juliet, but you are a very bad girl, he says, clutching his heart. Just my type.
This conversation is impossible. There is a soldier living in my room. I'm breathing hard. If you want me to be here, you need to get rid of the cameras.
Werner's eyes darken for just an instant. Where is your soldier, anyway?
I wouldn't know. I hope to God I'm not blushing. You assigned him to me.
Yes.
He looks thoughtful.
I like watching you squirm. He makes you uncomfortable, doesn't he?
I think about Adam's hands on my body, and his lips so close to mine, and the scent of his skin drenched in a steaming downpour soaking the two of us together, and suddenly my heart is two fists pounding on my ribs, demanding escape. Yes, God, yes, he makes me very uncomfortable.
Do you know why I chose him?
Werner asks, and I'm run over by a tractor trailer. Adam was chosen. Of course he was. He wasn't just any soldier sent to my cell. Werner does nothing without reason. He must know Adam and I have a history. He is more cruel and calculative than I gave him credit for. No. Inhale. I don't know why. Exhale. I can't forget to breathe.
He volunteered,
Werner says simply, and I'm momentarily dumbstruck.
He said he'd gone to school with you so many years ago. He said you probably wouldn't remember him, that he looks a lot different now than he did back then. He put together a very convincing case.
A beat of breath.
He said he was thrilled to hear you'd been locked up.
Werner finally looks at me. My bones are like cubes of ice clinking together, chilling me to my core.
I'm curious,
he continues, tilting his head as he speaks.
Do you remember him?
No. I lie. And I'm not sure I'm alive. I'm trying to untangle the truth from the false, from assumptions, from the postulations, but run-on sentences are twisting around my throat. Adam knew me when he walked into that cell. He knew exactly who I was. He already knew my name. Oh, oh, oh. This was all a trap.
Does this information make you angry?
He asks, and I want to sew his smiling lips into a permanent scowl. I say nothing. And somehow it's worse. Werner is beaming.
I never told him, of course, why it was that you'd been locked up. I thought the experiment in the asylum should remain untainted by extra information. But he said you were always a threat to the students, that everyone was always warned to stay away from you, though the authorities never explained why. He said he wanted to get a closer look at the freak you've become.
My heart cracks. My eyes flash. I'm so hurt, so angry, so horrified, so humiliated, and burning with indignation so raw that it's like a fire raging within me, a wildfire of decimated hopes. I want to crush Werner's spine in my hand. I want him to know what it's like to wound, to inflict such unbearable agony on others. I want him to know my pain, and Jenkins' pain, and Fletcher's pain, and I want him to hurt. Because maybe Werner is right. Maybe some people do deserve it. Take off your shirt. For all his posturing, Warner looks genuinely surprised, but he wastes no time unbuttoning his jacket, slipping off his gloves and peeling away the thin cotton shirt clinging closest to his skin. His eyes are bright, sickeningly eager. He doesn't mask his curiosity. Warner drops his clothes to the floor and looks at me almost intimately. I have to swallow back the revulsion bubbling in my mouth. His perfect face, his perfect body, his eyes as hard and beautiful as frozen gemstones. He repulses me. I want his exterior to match his broken black interior. I want to cripple his cockiness with the palm of my hand. He walks up to me until there's less than a foot of space between us. His height and build make me feel like a fallen twig.
"Are you ready?"
he asks, arrogant and foolish. I contemplate breaking his neck. "If I do this, you'll get rid of all the cameras in my room, all the bugs, everything." He steps closer, dips his head. He's staring at my lips, studying me in an entirely new way.
"My promises aren't worth much, love,"
he whispers.
"Or have you forgotten?"
3 inches forward, his hand on my waist, his breath sweet and warm on my neck.
"I'm an exceptional liar."
Realization slams into me like 200 pounds of common sense. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be making deals with him. I shouldn't be contemplating torture. Dear God, I have lost my mind. My fists are balled at my sides and I'm shaking everywhere. I can hardly find the strength to speak. "You can go to hell." I'm limp. I trip backward against the wall and slump into a heap of uselessness, desperation. I think of Adam and my heart deflates. I can't be here anymore. I fly to the double doors facing the room and yank them open before Warner can stop me. But Adam stops me instead. He's standing just outside, waiting, guarding me wherever I go. I wonder if he heard everything and my eyes fall to the floor, the color flushed from my face, my heart in pieces in my hand. Of course he heard everything. Of course he now knows I'm a murderer. A monster. A worthless soul stuffed into a poisonous body. Warner did this on purpose. And I'm standing between them, Warner with no shirt on, Adam looking at his gun.
"Soldier," Warner speaks, "take her back up to her room and disable all the cameras. She can have lunch alone if she wants, but I'll expect her for dinner."
Adam blinks for a moment too long.
"Yes, sir."
"Juliet." I freeze. My back is to Warner and I don't turn around.
"I do expect you to hold up your end of the bargain."
Chapter 22. It takes 5 years to walk to the elevator. 15 more to ride it up. I'm a million years old by the time I walk into my room. Adam is still, silent, perfectly put together, and mechanical in his movements. There's nothing in his eyes, in his limbs, in the motions of his body that indicate he even knows my name. I watch him move quickly, swiftly, carefully around the room, finding the little devices meant to monitor my behavior and disabling them one by one. If anyone asks why my cameras aren't working, Adam won't get in trouble. This order came from Warner. This makes it official. This makes it possible for me to have some privacy. I thought I would need privacy. I'm such a fool. Adam is not the boy I remember. I was in third grade. I'd just moved into town after being thrown out of, asked to leave my old school. My parents were always moving, always running away from the messes I made, from the playdates I'd ruined, from the friendships I never had.
No one ever wanted to talk about my problem, but the mystery surrounding my existence somehow made things worse. The human imagination is often disastrous when left to its own devices. I only heard bits and pieces of their whispers.
Freak! Did you hear what she did?
What a loser. Got kicked out of her old school.
Psycho!
She's got some kind of disease. No one talked to me. Everyone stared. I was young enough that I still cried. I ate lunch alone by a chain-link fence and never looked in the mirror. I never wanted to see the face everyone hated so much. Girls used to kick me and run away. Boys used to throw rocks at me. I still have scars somewhere. I watched the world pass by through those chain-link fences. I stared out at the cars and the parents dropping off their kids and the moments I'd never be a part of. This was before the diseases became so common that death was a natural part of conversation. This was before we realized the clouds were the wrong color. Before we realized all the animals were dying or infected. Before we realized everyone was going to starve to death. And fast. This was back when we still thought our problems had solutions. Back then, Adam was the boy who used to walk to school. Adam was the boy who sat three rows in front of me. His clothes were worse than mine. His lunch, non-existent. I never saw him eat. One morning, he came to school in a car. I know because I saw him being pushed out of it. His father was drunk and driving, yelling and flailing his fists for some reason. Adam stood very still and stared at the ground like he was waiting for something, steeling himself for the inevitable. I watched a father slap his 8-year-old son in the face. I watched Adam fall to the floor, and I stood there, motionless, as he was kicked repeatedly in the ribs.
"It's all your fault! It's all your fault, you worthless piece of shit!"
His father screamed over and over and over again, until I threw up right there, all over a patch of dandelions. Adam didn't cry. He stayed curled up on the ground until his father gave up, until he drove away. Only once he was sure everyone was gone did his body break into heaving sobs, his small face smeared into the dirt, his arms clutching at his bruised abdomen. I couldn't look away. I could never get that sound out of my head, that scene out of my head. That's when I started paying attention to Adam Kent.
Juliet.
I suck in my breath and wish my hands weren't trembling. I wish I had no eyes.
Juliet.
He says again. This time even softer, and my body is in a blender, and I'm made of mush. My bones are aching, aching, aching for his warmth. I won't turn around. You always knew who I was, I whisper. He says nothing, and I'm suddenly desperate to see his eyes. I suddenly need to see his eyes. I turn to face him despite everything, only to see he's staring at his hands.
I'm sorry,
is all he says. I lean back against the wall and press my lids shut. Everything was a performance. Stealing my bed. Asking for my name, asking me about my family. He was performing for Warner, for the guards, for whoever was watching. I don't even know what to believe anymore. I need to say it. I need to get it out. I need to rip my wounds open and bleed fresh for him. It's true, I tell him, about the little boy. My voice is shaking so much more than I thought it would. I did that. He's quiet for so long.
I never understood before. When I first heard about it, I didn't realize until just now what must have happened.
What? I never knew I could blink so much.
It never made sense to me,
he says, and each word kicks me in the gut. He looks up and looks more agonized than I ever want him to be.
When I heard about it, we all heard about it, the whole school.
It was an accident. I choke out, failing not to fall apart. He fell, and I was trying to help him, and I thought...
I know.